Our gospel text comes from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at his rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." And when they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Today is Epiphany Sunday, and we're actually celebrating on Epiphany, the 6th of January. We come to celebrate Epiphany, and we come and we talk about the journey of the wise men to see Jesus. Epiphany means to show or to reveal, and it's in Epiphany that the wise men are revealed, Christ the King. We don't know how many wise men actually came to visit Jesus. We only know that there were three gifts. And so tradition has taught us that there were three kings, but nowhere in the scripture says that. Probably because we think, well, if there were three gifts, surely everybody brought a gift. Wouldn't it have been a little awkward for the fourth wise man to be like, "Hey, I came with them." We don't know exactly how many they were. We know that they arrived sometime after Jesus was born. They weren't there on the night that Jesus was born. My wise men, they come out with my nativity right after Thanksgiving. They stay the whole time. But that's not really how it was in the scripture. It took them a little bit of time to get there. And so we celebrate Epiphany after Jesus is born, after some time has passed. And we celebrate that because the wise men came to reveal that Christ would be king. Their revelation was not only to them, but it was a proclamation to the world that Jesus came for all people. Because the wise men, they weren't Jewish, they were Gentiles, and yet they came and worshiped Jesus. As we begin to think about the story of the wise men, I believe it teaches us some things that we should be doing on this Epiphany Sunday. I believe that we should be coming in expectation just as the wise men came in expectation. They had learned the prophecies of the Jewish people, yet they were not Jewish. Isn't that interesting? They were expecting something to happen, even if it didn't come from the place that they thought it might. They were still expecting something. They were living in expectation, looking for something more than what was happening in their everyday lives. In ancient times, looking to the stars was associated with a quest for God. And so night after night, they looked to the stars expecting something to happen, something in the midst of the ordinary life. Are you expecting something today? Did you jump out of your bed and say, "It is January the 6th, it is Epiphany Sunday, and I cannot wait to get to Forest Hill"? Whew, thank you, Mitch. Probably it was more like, "Oh, well, what's the weather like? I should probably get up and get to Forest Hill." I don't know that we're always expecting something to happen. In fact, probably in our life, we get tied up in the mundane things, and sometimes we forget to expect for God to act in our life. And when we're not expecting God to act in our life, then sometimes we miss God at work. The wise men, they would have missed that star if they weren't expecting it to happen. They kept looking and expecting. They kept thinking in the midst of the ordinary that God was going to do something incredible. I wonder, do we think that? Do we awaken every day and think God is going to do something amazing today, and I just want to see it? That's what the wise men were thinking. God is going to do something amazing, and I just want to see it, so I'm going to be on the lookout for it. You see, I believe that God is working all the time. I believe that God is working so much in our lives, but so many times we miss it because we're not expecting it to happen. We just kind of bypass what's going on in the world. Sometimes we feel a little disconnected because we're moving from one thing to the next on our to-do list when God is doing incredible things in our world. But I think we have to want that. I think expectation is something that we have to want. We have to be clued into it. We have to seek it out. So when we come in our life and we say, how do we want to expect God to do something? Well, I think we make a choice. I think we say, "Lord, I'm expecting you to do something, and I want you to open my eyes to what is going to happen. I want to see what it is that you are doing in the world, and I want to be part of it." I think that's an important prayer. I think that's an expectant prayer, that we know that God is going to do something, that God is going to reveal God's self, and we want to be part of that. We want to see it. We want to engage in that. And the way we do that is that we spend time with God. We spend time in our prayer life earnestly asking that we would be in the presence of God revealed in our everyday life. We search the scriptures. We know what God says to us in ways that challenge us and in ways that help us to see more clearly where God is at work. The wise men, they were expecting something to happen, and when it happened, because they were expecting, they didn't miss it. They were very patient. That's not something I really want to have to do. I don't really like that word, patient, but those wise men, they were really patient and diligent. I wonder how many nights did they look to the sky before something changed? But we know they had to look night after night because they had to know what normal was so that they could know what was different. So night after night, they patiently gazed at the stars. They saw the stars dance through the night, day after day, until one day something was different. That shows incredible patience. I wonder, could I have done that? Would I have done that? Would I have had the patience to go night after night to chart out the heavens so when something changed that I would have seen it? I wonder, would I have been that diligent and that patient? Would I have given up? Or would I have, like the wise man, looked night after night? You know, we want God to work quickly in our world, right? Or is it just me? Like, I want to be like, okay, God, I need to pray about this now. Tomorrow, let's just fix it. It isn't the way that God works. I really wish it was the way that God works, because I don't like patience or diligence or those kinds of things. I like quick fixes now. That's not the way God works. Many times in my life, I have looked backwards because, you know, that's so easy to look back and understand instead of sitting in the moment looking forward and not understanding. But I've been able to look back in my life and to see how things fell into place. Now, living in that time, I would have said, this is not moving fast enough for me. But looking back, I've been able to see how God's time is perfect. God's time is not like our time, but God's time is perfect. When God puts things together, they fit in ways that we could never orchestrate on our own. But if we have patience and we have diligence, many, many times we can look back and see that God's timing is right. Like the wise men, we need to learn patience and to trust God's timing. The wise men, they were expecting God, and they were patient, and they were diligent. And when it happened, the scripture says that they were filled with joy when they finally got to God revealed, when the star stopped, the scripture says, and they were filled with joy. They worshiped, and they brought their very best, and they laid it at the feet of Christ. They brought gold for prosperity. They brought frankincense for sweetness and atmosphere. And they brought myrrh as a preservative symbolizing the ability to overcome even the worst of times. Anybody who has been around any baby knows that the things that you need most are probably not gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is probably diapers and food. It wasn't a practical gift, but it wasn't meant to be practical. They came and brought their very best. They brought what they had, and they laid it at the feet of Christ as an act of worship. God wants us to bring our very best. God doesn't need us to bring things that are practical, for God has everything. But God wants us to bring our very best. God wants us to bring our time, to give of ourselves our unrenewable resource of time, and to give it in service and to give it in worship. God wants us to bring our talents, the ways in which God has blessed us, gifted us, and graced us. God wants us to use those in order to help others and to further the kingdom of God. God wants us to use the gifts that we have been given, our financial resources, to take care of the people around us and to use those as a way of giving back and acknowledging all that God has truly given to us. God ultimately asks for our hearts to be the priority in our life. God wants us to be full of worship. God wants us to be His people, to love Him fully, and to live out a life of love and grace in this world. Like the wise men, we are asked to bring our very best gifts, God, to lay them at the feet of Christ, to say, Lord, this is what we have. It is what You have given to us, and it is what we return to You, for we are so grateful and so thankful. That is worship. The wise men were living in expectation. They were living with patience, but they were living for the moment that they got to meet Christ, that they got to lay their gifts at the feet of Christ and worship. And when that time came, they were filled with joy. I don't know what that scene looked like when they finally got there. When they knocked on the door of Mary and Joseph's house and they see this little tiny boy. This little tiny boy that they had been expecting for so long. Surely that little boy didn't look like very much. Just a tiny little baby. And yet they knew and they trusted that they were in a holy moment of worship. And they knew and they believed that the things that God had promised that were yet unseen would be fulfilled in that tiny baby boy. Sometimes we don't get to see the full picture. We don't know what it's going to unfold, but when we trust God, we can be present in holy moments. The wise men, they expected a king, and when they found Him, they bowed down and they worshiped Him, and they brought their very best. This Sunday is Epiphany. We, the church, are so excited about that. It is the revelation the epiphany that we come to celebrate on this day, we should be like the wise men. We should be those who are expecting God to work in this moment, in this day, in every moment of our life. We should endure with patience, trusting God's timing, even when it doesn't feel like ours. And in all those things, we should give God our very best as we lay our gifts before God as an act of our worship and an act of our love. Amen.